Blog Talk Radio.
GWT reporter coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, city of palm trees, just blowing in the wind, in the sunshine. Oh, it's hot now, it's hot. Yes, it is, but it's beautiful, isn't it? So glad to be with you and you again today with this program of Time to Talk About It. And you know we do talk about it. Yes, we do. We talk about things that we feel are relevant to you and you. Now, if you want to put your little piece in, call it 347-857-3925. 347-857-3925. Give us a call while we are on air. We do want to have your input. Yes, a praise report. Tell us what God has done for you. I know he's done a lot. Yes, he has. Just look around and see all that God has already done for you. And even what you expect from him to do for you in the future. Let us know right now. Let us know at 347-857-3925 just what it is that you're expecting God to do for you. Because I know he's going to do a lot for you. Yes, yes, yes. He's already blessed you. He's blessed your family. He's blessed of your friends. He blessed all around you. I know he have. I could just see it and feel it right now. But you just don't want to talk about it. Talk about it. Let somebody else know that God can. And he will if you allow him to today. We're going to pray for a few people today. Yes, we are. We have Helen Ward, who's in the hospital at this time. Father God, in Jesus' name, you made her, you know all about her. Father God, she's come a long way, Father. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, touch her heart, touch her mind right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for it. Let your will be done in this situation, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we ask you to look on Arianna Alfred today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Continue, Lord God. Loosen her tongue right now, Lord, that she may be able to speak. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for Bree, who's having problems with her eye and not seeing out clearly. Father God, in Jesus' name, nothing is too hard for you, Father. In the name of Jesus today, touch and deliver right now. Make her ever with whole from head to toe. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we give you all the praise right now. Father, continue to touch Lawrence Jackson Jr. there in Louisiana. Continue to touch him right now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, let him know right now that nothing is too hard for you, God. We are believing along with him and his family today that nothing is too hard for you, God, that you can bring him out of this also. Give him that blessed assurance today, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, and we count it done. Father God, we look on the family of Olga Eugene, Lord, who passed away. Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to touch that family today, God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we pray for Jaquin. Father, we praying for them right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, we pray for Elaine right now and her husband, salvation. Lord, we pray for them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, have your way right now at this hour, God. Lord, we pray for Miss D, a daughter, to come home safely. Lord, let she return whole in the mighty name of Jesus. Nothing is too hard for you, God. Lord, touch Yvonne Christian, Lord God. It's recovered. That's in recovery right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for bringing them through in Jesus' name. Let them continue a speedy recovery right now. Lord, touch Ida Stevens, Father, who has shingles. Touch them right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God, and we thank you for it, God. We thank you for what you're doing in her life right now, Father God, in Jesus' name. And, Father, we ask you to touch and deliver today, Lord God, your pastors that are going through. And, Lord, we just, you know, I was thinking this morning of our good friend Elizabeth there in New York. We are praying for her today, God, that you touch her right now in the name of Jesus. Touch Karen Battle also today, God, in Jesus' name, and her husband Robert Battle. Touch both of them, Lord, who's going through some medical problems in the name of Jesus, God. Have your way in her and his life. Father, we ask you to touch Prophetess Mara, Lord, Mary Mara. Touch her right now in the name of Jesus, God. Touch her mind, touch her body, touch her soul. Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, rise. We say to rise and be healed today in the name of Jesus. Right now, Holy Father, touch her. Touch her husband right now, Lord, and touch their congregation that's going through along with her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for it today. We thank you for touching Mother Jane Mara. Lord, we thank you for touching her also, God, in her body, giving her strength right now, Holy Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we appreciate it. Lord, I thank you for touching my children, Lord. I thank you for touching my grandchildren, Lord. I thank you for just touching them all right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for blessing in the ministry. I thank you for blessing each and every one of the people in the ministry, the congregation, Lord God. We ask you to continue to encourage them and lift them up to where they belong today, Father. Bring them out to bring them in, Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we appreciate it. Touch the couples, God, each couple, Lord. Touch them right now, Lord God. Lord, that they continue, Lord God, in a more intimate relationship with you and with them, with each other. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you today. We thank you for adding to our ministry, God. We thank you for the anointing there, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, those that don't have the Holy Ghost, Lord, baptize them in the Holy Ghost today, God, right at this hour, wherever they are, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, and we thank you for it right now. We thank you for all things, the good, the bad, and the indifferent, God. We thank you today, God, because you're a mighty, mighty God. Oh, we appreciate you today, Lord. Yes, I know I do. I don't know about the rest of the world, Lord, but I certainly appreciate all that you've done and doing for me. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for touching and delivering me right now. Deliver me from myself. Ooh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. That I may be delivered from others in Jesus' name. All right. Glory be to God. Now, this is a little lengthy that I'm going to read to you today. I'm going to read this little saying to you today. 10 mistakes to avoid. Remorse over yesterday's failure. Anxiety over today's problem. Worry over tomorrow's uncertainty. Waste of the moment's opportunity. Procrastination with one's present duty. Resentment of another's success. Criticism of a neighbor's imperfections. Impatient with youth's immaturity. Skepticism of our nation's future. And unbelief in God's providence.
Wow.
Now that's a long one, isn't it? Praise God. But you want to hear that again? Do you want to get that one more time? 10 mistakes to avoid. See? 10 mistakes to avoid. Remorse over yesterday's failure. Anxiety over today's problem. Worry over tomorrow's uncertainty. Waste of the moment's opportunity. Procrastination with one's present duty. Resentment of another's success. Criticism of a neighbor's imperfections. Patient with youth's immaturity. Skepticism of our nation's future. And unbelief in God's providence. These are things that you need to avoid. Did you get that? And you get it. Well, if you got it, you'll avoid it. Wasn't that right? Amen, amen. Truly, we want to thank God again that we are here with you today. Yes, yes, yes. We thank God for it. I know I do. I thank God every day I'm alive. Because God didn't have to do it. He could have just took me on away. Hallelujah. So I thank him for it today. Do you? Amen, amen. Now, today we are going to talk something about something that most of us have a problem with. Okay? Most of us have a problem with this, what we're going to talk about today. Now, I'm going to start reading. Well, I think I'll just start reading at the first verse, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, if you will. You can follow me. If not, just listen. Who had believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And as a root out of a dry ground, he had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, you know, let me stop right there for just a moment. Every time I think about this, he had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, what is they trying to tell us here? Jesus was nothing to look at, And but them pictures, these pictures we always see. I know I'm finna meddle now. These pictures we always see up on your wall in your house and in your churches and everywhere is the blue-eyed blonde. But he's a good-looking man, huh? Now, that one we see is good-looking in that picture, ain't it? But this here say he had no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Now, we can look at that and say, well. Well, what did he look like? I don't know. Now, let's continue to read. Here, I leave that for you to ponder over. Research and call me and let me know what you got. 347-857-3925. You call me and we can talk about it and let me know what you found. All right? That's your lesson for today. Number three, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Do you see they're talking about Jesus here? Do you see that? Or what you think they're talking about? What you think the book talking about? But what we going to deal with one word, huh? Let's deal with this word, rejected. Huh? Reject. Okay? Rejection. Or what? They can accept you or reject you. And most people today, I don't know anybody that have never been rejected by someone or something. You know, you either rejected by your job, you rejected by some friends, you could be rejected by your relatives. Somewhere down the line, you thought your friend was your friend, and your friend happened not to be your friend, and they rejected you for somebody else, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, or your husband could have rejected you. Is that right? And when you get rejected, that's a bad feeling, isn't it? Now, how many of you have been rejected? Now, you know somebody has rejected you and caused you so much turmoil in your life, did it not? That spirit of rejection upset you. And another way, every time somebody say no to you, don't agree with you, you become rejected. Is that right? What happened? A spirit of rejection come over you, and you become what? Mad, don't you? Angry. Disillusioned. Discouraged. You become that and then some more, do you not? Think about it now. But listen, you are in good company. You're in very good company because, listen, they rejected Jesus. They despised him. Just like you told somebody you changed your life and you're a Christian now and you serving God, but all of a sudden the friends that loved you before despise you, don't they? And they reject you. Come on, think about it now. Now if this have occurred to you, live a little bit longer, and it will. Because there is the other side of life, that dark side of life, When you start walking in the light, When you walk in the light and the light has shined upon you and got this glow around you and everything, there's that dark side, that darkness that wants to put the light out. So it begin to despise your light because they don't have any light. They despise you. Come on. And you say, well, what did I do to them? Well, you didn't do anything. I mean, Jesus is the same. But Jesus didn't do nothing to nobody. He came to bring life to them and more abundant life. Even the fourth verse says, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was all these things. God had allowed him to be afflicted, And people beat on him. And one thing I found out, when you start reading this, we just find out why people always want to spit on somebody. You want to take that nasty stuff in your mouth and spit on people. What does that do? That's a form of rejection, You letting them know that you rejected them. You despised them by spitting on them. Now, how many people spit on you? Now, you know, if they spit on you, I'm sure you're going to slap them. You're going to hit them in some way, knock them out in some kind of way if they spit on you. I know that inner man, that thing that's deep down in that you done buried, just rose up when they spit on you. Come on now. Now, instead of allowing them to reject you because you're in good company with Jesus, because he was rejected, they spit on him. Huh? The Bible say all of these things happen for you. It happens for to make you a better person, that you won't go around spitting on nobody and despising people that ain't did nothing to you. You want to just despise them because they ain't did nothing to you. Huh? He don't want you to be that way. Because when he came to give you life, huh, that is a life that you won't even reject other people that are less fortunate than you. See, they reject you because you look dirty. They reject you because your clothes don't match theirs, or you don't live in a fine house or drive a fine car. They reject you because you may be a little cripple or something, or you may have one eye or something. They are people reject you for all types of reasons. Hmm? They don't like you because maybe you a little crippled. Maybe you got one leg or one arm or no arms or whatever the case may be. Maybe you're blind, but they will reject you because of your condition. You see, they did it to Jesus, so you know they're going to do it to you. Huh? Because you are naming the name of Jesus. You are saying that you are a child of God. You've been washed in the blood. Huh? You have been washed in the blood, haven't you? Glory be to God. If you've been washed in the blood, you're going to have rejection. You're going to have people despise you. You're going to have people that hate the ground you walk on, is always trying to hurt you or trying to put you down, afflict you in some kind of way. They're always heaping up on you coals of hot fire. They're always doing something to hurt you. Huh? Because they cannot understand how you can smile all the time. You smile when they talk about you. Oh, my God, you want to make somebody mad. You want to make the devil mad. You smile and laugh when they spit on you. Oh, my God, you say, God, don't let this spit have no diseases in it. In the name of Jesus, I curse every disease that it has. In Jesus' name, and wipe it off and wash off good with some Clorox or something. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And keep on going. You see, because rejection, let's put it to you to say, is a part of life. Huh? You may have been rejected as a child. Have you had any friends as a child? How did your parents treat you? Huh? How did Aunt Betty and Uncle Joe treat you? Somebody, because of some reason, they may have rejected you. Or you might have came here, used the wrong color. Hmm? You might have been born of a Caucasian family and a black family, and they resented that because they come to me, they don't know what you are. Well, you're a human being. That's who you are. You ought to be loved like everybody else. Do you understand? Praise God. So people have different reasons why they want to reject you. Are you one of them today? You know, I was thinking about that spirit of rejection, how it's running rampant in the land today. It's causing people so much anger and hostility and hatred. It's causing so much of this in the world. The police don't like this, and the people don't like that, and the Christian don't like this, and then other called Christian don't like the other Christian. And all of this hatred and rejection is going on in the land. Huh? It's not right. God didn't call for us to be rejecting all of that. All we're supposed to reject is evil and wicked. You see, that is it. Not the person per se, but the wickedness that they do. That's what you reject. You don't do eye for eye and tooth for tooth. You don't sit up and hit them and slap them and spit on them because they spit and slap you. He said, turn the other cheek. All of what he meaning to you is don't do nothing because I will take care of that. I tell you, listen, I have experienced that factor, that if you let God have his way, he will take care of that person that slapped you or hit you. Yes, I've experienced. I ain't going into it. Some of you heard it already. So you'll say, there she go with that story again. Well, I'm just letting you know that people despise you for no reason just because you are one of God's children and you believe in serving the Lord with all your heart. People don't like it. They try to hurt you in all kind of ways. Why do you think the soothsayer and Madame Mohawk and all of them people make so much money, huh? Because somebody hating the fact that somebody else is successful or they are doing good, so they want to hurt them. Is that any reason to hurt somebody because they're successful? If you want to be successful, ask them, what did you do to be successful? I want to get there too. Maybe they'll tell you and maybe they won't. I don't know. But you ought to try it anyway and go to God and say, God, how did they make it? I want to make it, God. I want to be successful, Father. Instead of trying to hurt them, instead of trying to kill them and all these ungodly things, then you know, they're not rejecting you, but they will tell you how to get it, how to be successful. They got a lot of how-tos out there, books, people, telling people how to get rich and how to do this and how to be successful, all kind of books and people out there. Motivating, trying to motivate you to prosperity. But now if you don't get it, well, ain't nothing they can do about it, so don't hate. You see, you heard me say don't hate, right? Okay, so don't hate. God wants you to be blessed. He promised you that you would be blessed. You would inherit it, you know. Yeah, if you are one of Abraham's children, you're already in the will. But you've got to know, if you never read the will, you don't know what you have inherited, do you? Come on now, think about it. If you never read it, well, read the will. The will is in the Bible. The thing, the Bible, the book that you don't want no part of, the book that you want to cut up and burn up and throw away. The will is in there. And if what you have inherited is in these pages. Yes. Well, get it? Open up and start reading. Okay? Now, don't go reading the thing about, well, you know, about somebody chopped somebody's head off and John the Baptist got his head cut off or something like that. Now, he didn't tell you to inherit that. Huh? Now you're going to go find something like that to read, aren't you? See what I'm talking about? You like rejection, don't you? But now if you reject God, what's going to happen? He's going to reject you. Did you know that? Think about it now. He has opened up the way for you. See, when we read in Isaiah 53, we're reading how God paid the price. Jesus paid the price for you. God gave his only begotten son. And that fourth verse say, surely he had borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He paid a dear price for you. When he was rejected, he paid a dear price for you. So you can walk around here and somebody could reject you. Don't go off the deep end because people reject you. I know it's easy to go off the deep end. It's easy to be mad. It's easy to fight back when somebody rejects you. Jesus didn't fight them back, did he? No, sir. He didn't fight them back. He was afflicted for you and me. Huh? The Bible said, let's jump down to the seventh verse. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He ain't say a word. Can you do that? No. Well, you just don't understand. That's the first thing we say. You just don't understand. They hit me. You don't understand. They cuss me. You don't understand. They spit on me. So that means you got to shoot them because they spit on you? Then you just as bad as they are, and you're going to be locked up. See what I'm saying? Because you're going to pay for it. Let God take care of it, and you don't have to worry about a thing. You don't have to go to jail because God would take care of that person that did whatever they did to you. Step back and just say, praise the Lord. I know that's a hard thing to say, isn't it? Because flesh want to retaliate, doesn't it? But what would retaliation get you? In trouble. Because first thing they're going to do, they're gonna sit up and tell a lie on you. Say, well, they started it.
Ooh, Jesus, come on, man.
Huh? Now, you know that's the truth. You done been in that situation before. And the first thing they say, you done started. They may like you the one said it. You the one did it. Then they want to sue you because they hit you and you hit them back. So they want to sue you because you started it. See how the devil trick you? Get you all in a bind, huh? Just because you don't want to stand a little rejection. Man, I tell you, some people have been through so much rejection in their lifetime. I tell you, their name should be rejection. Huh? Yeah, because people, everybody reject them. Everywhere they go, somebody rejecting them. Everything they do, they can't seem to get a handle on nothing. Huh? How about you? Listen here. Let's just look up in Matthew for a few minutes. Matthew, the 27th chapter and the 30th verse. And it says, and they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Lord, hammers, they beat him on the head. Spit on him and then they're going to beat him on the head. Now, you know. Listen at this, 31. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. Huh? After they done beat him up and everything, they wasn't satisfied. Now they're going to take him all away and crucify him. Huh? Could you stand that type of rejection? That's what you call brutal rejection, people. That's, oh, my God. Can you see what Jesus went through just for you, huh? Just for you to believe in him? He was rejected. They beat him up, hit him on the head. Then another scripture tell you how they plucked out his beard and put the crown of thorns on his head, stuck that thing deep down in his skull till it started bleeding and everything. I mean, he suffered for us. And you can't believe in him? You can't trust him? Huh? Just because somebody said no to you? Oh, you couldn't have your way. Oh, honey, that's one thing running, oh, my God, through a church. If the pastor don't let them have their way, oh, my God, they get finicky and think they talking about they rejected and they don't let me do nothing in the church. Well, you don't do nothing because you got a bad attitude. Huh? And you don't know what the Lord told the minister, pastor, preacher, prophet, or whoever. You don't know what the Lord told them. The Lord might have told them, let this person over here do such and such a thing, and not you. But just because you didn't do it, you want to have a fit. And then you leave the church and then tell everybody a bunch of lies. Oh, they don't have the word. They don't have this. They don't have that. All because of a no. all because that person is allowing God to tell them who and what to get to do what. See? So rejection comes in many forms. And basically, it's a big no. When you get a no, I can't accept that. No, you can't do that. No, you know, you can't go. No, you know, it's not time for you to preach. No, you know, and you are going around with a spirit of rejection that attack you, and since it attacked you, you're going to attack somebody else, and then you're going to start lying, and you're all angry, and you go from church to church spreading venom like a snake. See, we talking about it. I thought we just talking about rejection. Rejection is an enemy to you. Yes, it's an enemy. And why allow this enemy to distract you from what the Lord wants? Why can't you say, well, maybe the Lord is telling them, you know, to let somebody else do thus and so, instead of you getting all huffed and crazy? Have you ever thought the Lord is saying, is telling you that? It's not your time? See, the enemy can tell you, well, they won't let me do this, and they won't let me do that, and they won't. Well, now, have you ever sit down to be obedient any time? They won't let you because you ain't obedient. Have you ever thought of that? But instead, you allow the spirit of rejection to come in form and take over. And what it's doing now has distracted you from where God has put you, have distracted you from being what God wants you to be, because now you're dissatisfied and you're moving from pillar to post. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah, anyhow. Glory be to God. God is good. But let me tell you, rejection is just not a pretty thing. Jesus, see how Jesus was rejected? See what happened to him all through the book and through life and through the thing? He's mocked and spit on him. And they beat him on the head. That's what they did. They just mocked him. You see, you know people mock you. You know, some of your family mock you. You know that. And they talk about you. Oh, they ain't got nothing. You know what they say. Well, you probably got more than they got, and they just ain't found out that yet. They'll find out in the end when they finish all the running their mouth and God finish beating them on their head. See? They'll find out. You see what I'm saying? But the fact of the matter is, most people have been rejected. Everybody has been rejected from time to time. Sometime in your life, you done been rejected. Because that's a part of life. Rejection. No's. You don't get on. God don't even give you no yes all the time. God either don't answer or say no. It ain't time yet. What you going to do? Get mad with God? Well, God don't love me. He rejected me. Are you going to do that? I sure hope not. Obedience requires that sometimes there is that type of rejection for your own good, because he has planned something better for you than that which you desired at that moment. Did you get the picture? I sure hope you did. Praise God. So let us not just be so busy allowing the spirit of rejection to take control. And so when everything somebody do or don't do for us or to us, we become rejected. We have that spirit of rejection, and then it causes us to make some bad choices. And we do some crazy, ungodly things that God didn't ordain for you to do. Is that right? Think about it now. That's what it calls from one thing. Once that spirit of rejection hits you, and you start allowing it to take control of you, it brings the other spirits in too, and then you, after a while, you don't even want no parts of God and God's people. Mm-hmm. Hello, somebody. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? God is so good. We're going to let Brother Michael see what he's going to say today. Praise God.
Yeah, that's kind of quick there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for everything today. And I thank the Lord what Apostle was talking about, that rejection and the spitting on. And I thought about when I was in junior high school, when this little white boy spit on me. Well, Caucasian kid spit on me at the time. And he spit on me one time, and I said, you better go ahead. I didn't do anything. He spit on me a second time when I told him to stop. But the third time, by the time he got the spit out, I was on him. I had done lost control. So, you know, and what happened was I got suspended, then I got a whooping. After being suspended again. And, you know, it didn't pay for me to retaliate because I wind up with a whooping and suspended. So, you know, you got to understand, a lot of times when we retaliate, there's consequences for us retaliating. You know, and that's whatever we do, we all have consequences for whatever we do, good, bad, or indifferent. There's always some kind of consequence with the circumstance that goes along with everything. You know, and we got to understand these things. But, you know, when God was crucified and God was tormented on our behalf, we should learn how to deal with these things ourselves as good Christian people. But we got to put it in God's hands. And see, and a lot of times we have a problem with putting things in God's hands, and that's what we need to do. You know, because like also with the spirit of rejection, you know, I think in some form or manner, all of us had some type of rejection before in our lives that we needed to get over. You know, when all of us have been through this. And, you know, the thing about it is without Christ, we couldn't get over these hurdles and these things that we have been under and we go under, because that runs rampant. And you know, it's a lot of things. If you look at today, most of these drive-by shootings and all of this going on is because of rejection somewhat. It's because somebody's trying to retaliate on somebody else, but instead innocent people getting hurt. They never hit their target. It's always an innocent person. You know, and these are the things that's going on because these are the consequences that happen. And see, and these are the things we need to understand what's going on in today's world, because the devil is running rampant. The devil is running rampant because of the fact he wants to pull you out. He wants to pull those that are in. He wants to pull those out because the others that's out, he already got them. Now, it's our job to try to pull some of them in. The point of the matter is how can we get through to a lot of these thick-skulled people who set in their ways? They rather be set in sin than to come under God's everlasting hand. A lot of people want rejection more than they want someone to love them. They're so used to rejection till they don't know how to handle it when somebody loves them, when somebody tries to help them. You know, and the thing about it is we have to recognize these spirits and these things that go on and what comes down on upon us. And I heard Apostle was talking about when people was talking about turning the other cheek. We learned that in Sunday school way back in the 60s or the 50s, somewhere back in there. I remember that well, you know, because I went to school that Monday and got hit in the face, and I called myself turning the other cheek. I ain't know what they was talking about, but I turned the other cheek. Got beat up pretty bad that day, turning the other cheek. The next day they hit me, I ran. I say, well, this ain't working. So I went to Sunday school the next Sunday, and I asked the pastor, and I say, well, I turned the other cheek, and I got hit in the other one too. What shall I do? You know, because it was confusing to me as a young person. when you're trying to do the right thing. You know, even today I have a tendency of not to hit back a lot of times. I just got into the concept to hit back. But I never got in that concept to hit back because of the fact I always felt like God would take care of it. And when I look back, and as Apostle was talking, and I look back, and I say, God did take care of me on a lot of occasions when I didn't even realize that the Spirit was taking care of. The Spirit was taking care of everything. You know, things that happened and transpired, I noticed all those who did something to me, something happened to them without me doing anything. So I said, God took care of it. You know, and when you think back and you look at these things, you, at the time, you don't know because you want to do it. You know, you want to see it happen. You want to see God take them down to their knees. You know, you want to see it because it feels good if you see it. It feels even better if you did it. But we got to understand is God is in control. The Spirit is in control of our lives, that we need to understand what's going on. You know, things happen. The devil's going to try to get to you. That's only, let me put it this way, that's only natural these days because this is what's going on. Well, what's going on is that the devil is trying to get us all, and if you look around the world today, it is going around in a hellacious manner. Let me put it to you that way. That we need to understand what's happening. We need to understand that our steps are ordered by God. So we need to learn how to walk in this path. We need to learn how to keep that shield of protection upon us. We need to learn how to put on that whole armor of God to keep our protection intact, because you're going to be attacked. There's no doubt about it. You're going to be attacked. Some form, some fashion, something. You're going to be attacked. So let's face this and let's look out for this anyway. You know, because things that happen shouldn't be no surprise, because the devil is trying to get you, but he will sneak up on you. He will catch you at your weakest and your most vulnerablest point, because we're going to have points in our time that is going to be like that. We'll either a lot of times we lose control, as we had a lesson before about losing control. A lot of times we lose control. We be so controlled till something happened and all of a sudden it's out there. You know, you can see the steam coming from our heads. Our veins in our neck start rising up. We have wrinkled foreheads. You know, all this nature turn red in the face. You know, it's signs that show when things are going to happen. Your stomach start turning in knots. You know, it's a whole lot of things that go forth that we need to understand is what's really happening. You know, some people feel something happening when the hair in the back of their neck stand up. You know, something is going on. See, all these be little signs that something is happening. Whether it be good or bad or whatever, we all have warning signs of what's to come or what's happening. Now, do we understand the signs? That's another story and another lesson all into itself, that we need to understand what's going on. We need to understand the signs that's happening. We need to really grip a hold of this thing called the Bible. We need to really grip a hold of this thing called the Word of God. You know, because a lot of times we don't understand what's happening and what's going on. So let's dip down into the Word and find out what's going on. As apostles say, a lot of people get the tragedy that's going on and they rather deal with that. They don't like to look at the good stuff that's happening. They don't like to look at the stuff that they have to do to get over the hump that they're in. They don't like to look at that. They like to look at the part where John the Baptist got his head cut off. They like to look at the part where the man was hung upside down and stuff like that. They like to also look at the part that Jesus got crucified. They're not asking the meaning of what happened or what's going on. They don't want to know these things. All they look at is the tragedy part. All they look at is the bad part. They don't look at the symbolism of what's going on or what's happening. Look at the Christians that's overseas that's getting their heads cut off. You understand what I'm saying? But they didn't give up their God. They stood for what they believe in. Would you today stand up for what you believe in? See, that's a whole other thing. A lot of us don't stand up for what we believe in, and these are what's going on. And like, and the thing about it, in this day and time, you stand up for what you believe in without breaking the laws, because we still have to abide by the laws of the land. But that doesn't mean we have to give up our religious belief. And that's where we got to stand at. We got to learn how to stand with our religious belief and not give up our belief in order to stand with the law. We need to learn to work with this thing together, because the fact of the matter is a lot of this stuff works together if we can understand it. But we got it's ways to manipulate to get around what you have to do. But you see, God will show you what to do if you allow him to. And that's the point. We want to do it. We can't do it without God. A lot of people want to do it themselves and say it was me. I did it alone. No, you did not do it alone. God and the Holy Spirit is the one that carried you through for whatever you did and whatever was going on. You have no control over that. You think you do, but you don't have no control over that. See, a lot of times man get in the way of theyself. And this is where we come down in, where we get in the way of ourselves. And this is what's happening today, is we get in our own way and our own problems begin to get more exploded and becomes more bigger than what it is. Like that spirit of rejection, once it seeps in, it's going to go all over. Someone might not be rejecting you, but you think they are. Because you're so used to rejection, whatever somebody say, you believe they're rejecting you. And the thing about it is, once that spirit of rejection get on your back, how do you get it off? How do you maintain it? See, the point of a lot of people want to maintain it. You don't want to maintain it. You want to get it off your back. You want to get rid of it. The same thing about when you get out there and you're doing the right thing and you're always doing the right thing and something always happening to you, but you're still trying to do the right thing, but you want to know why these sinners are out there getting blessed and doing this and doing that. Now you got the spirit of jealousy that comes upon you, because you don't want to, because of the fact you're seeing something else, but that's nothing but the devil that's showing you something else. But it's also the devil that's really attacking you, that's always coming at you, but you're always coming out, but you never realize when you come out. See, a lot of us don't realize when we come out of things either. So we think God is rejecting us because we stay into something. Soon as you come out of one storm, you into another. Soon as you come out of a little rain, you into some more. The thing about it is, if we don't go through these things, how do we know that we put our trust in God? A lot of people fail to realize that God gives us a lot of tests himself to try our faith and our belief, to keep us from running around acting all willy-nilly. See, we need to understand that God is with us and he's for us. And he's going to be on our side. He's going to hold our hands and all of this. But we got to put our shield of protection on. We got to have belief. We got to have faith that coincides with everything that we do. But the point is that if you don't have enough faith, a lot of this stuff is going to jump on our backs. But we got to have enough faith in God that it's just going to roll off. The spirit of rejection will roll off. You know, and it's quite simple when you look at it. The point of the matter is, we don't look at these things. We overlook the obvious. And this is what goes on a lot of times. We overlook the obvious. When God is blessing us and doing things for us, we overlook that. Do you say thank you, Jesus, when things happen, when things go on? Do you say thank you, Jesus, whether it's good or bad, just say, thank you, Jesus, I'm in it, and I know you're going to bring me out. You know, and like I say, a lot of us have been through this rejection one time or another in our lives, doing school, when we was in school. Do we think our parents rejected us? Do we think all of this? Because I remember I used to think my parents rejected me way back in the day. I used to think that. You know, so, you know, it's a lot of that go on, you know, that you think, you know, but, it be all in your mind. You know, it be all the thing. And, you know, when you're young, you don't look at that. You don't, all you feel is they don't love you. You feel like you've been rejected. You feel like all they love someplace else, but it ain't on you. And that's what happened. That's what you call that displaced, displaced rejection. That's what I call it, you know, because it's all in your mind. The devil, that means the devil done rented space in your head. Mm-hmm. You know, and once that happened, it take years to come out of. Sometimes some people take years of therapy, depending on how they look at it. You know, some people still in therapy. You know, so we got to understand what's going on here with all of these things that's happening to us. And the thing about it is we're in a time where things are going to happen. So we need to stay prayed up. We need to stay in our word, keep our Bibles, because it's going to be a time where Bibles are going to be hard to get also. So if you have to get your Bible, go get your Bible and get into your word. For those out there who don't understand what I'm talking about, get you a holy Bible and get into the word like you're supposed to do. So, and here's Sister Diane, and thank you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That was an awesome word from Apostle Porter and Deacon Michael. I tell you, God is good. Dealing with rejection, Lord, I tell you. He said the world reject him and you following him. Who do you think they're going to reject? They're going to reject you too. So you better stand in the word of God. Stand in the one who can destroy both flesh and the soul. Okay? So just trust in God. Tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That call-in number is 347-857-3925. That's 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. You can also tune in to blogtalkradio.com/timetotalkaboutit. And you can listen to each and every segment that Apostle Porter has put out there. I tell you, the word is rich. It is rich. Every Friday night, we have the Wailing Walls Prayer Line, hosted by our very own Elder Whitted at 11 p.m. That calling number is 218-548-6746, code 3333#. That's 218-548-6746, code 3333#. It's every Friday night at 11 p.m. So come on, let's tear the devil kingdom down and take back everything that we have allowed the enemy to steal from us. Every Monday at 3 p.m., we have Deacon Michael with I'm Just Saying. That call-in number is 917-889-2211. That's 917-889-2211. That's every Monday at 3 p.m. Also now, come on now. This is Friday and Saturday. Yes, this Friday and this Saturday at the City of Victory, hosted by our very own Apostle Porter and Bishop Porter. We have Minister Jonathan Frazier coming from Kissimmee, Florida. I tell you, it's 2 days. Only 2 days, transforming to kingdom changes. That's transforming to kingdom changes. So come on out, hear a great word from God, I tell you. Again, that place is the City of Victory. The address is 31325 CR 437, Sorrento, Florida.
And that time is 6:30 p.m., 6:30. So come on out this Friday and Saturday. There is a word for you. Till then, you be blessed.
Let God, my sister, you can't handle it. Let God.